Esther Perikhei Pasuk Tes. So the king has allowed Esther into the throne room despite the laws preventing such an unauthorized visit. And Esther has invited the king and Haman to a party. And at the party, Esther says, let's have another party tomorrow. So there's going to be a waiting period. And again, we mentioned earlier this perek that waiting is a tremendous developmental opportunity for people. Sometimes you have to wait for something to come. In our world today, one of the most frustrating things we have is that everything's instantaneous. Instacart, instant information, instant responses, overnight shipping. We don't know what it means to wait anymore. And that means that we ourselves are stultified a little bit by virtue of the fact that we have no patience because we don't need to have patience and we resent having to have patience. I have been driving my grandson from school every day at 3 o'clock, 3:30, and let me tell you, you learn patience behind the wheel of a car driving through Flatbush on a weekday when every yeshiva is letting out roughly at around the same time. And it's very difficult for me. I get more stressed behind the wheel than I get in almost any other aspect of my life right now. And it's meant to be a lesson to have patience. But Rav Soloveitchik points out beautifully, there is a reason for Esther's procrastination and slowness. She dreads the results of an unsuccessful attack on Haman. Instead, she took a wait-and-see attitude. She waited for something to happen, for an event to occur. The 24-hour intermission between the first and second feast is the most destiny-charged and most crucial period in the whole story. The question is, will something happen or not? And indeed, something is going to happen at the beginning of Perek Vav, but not before Haman takes the wrong lesson, as Hamans are always wont to do. Haman sees the entire world as owing him something. He is so entitled that he makes today's younger generations who are criticized for entitlement look like nothing compared to him. He is going to come out by Yetzei Haman by Yomahu. So Haman left the first feast. And a quick point, feasts and fasts are all over the Megillah. We started the whole Megillah with a feast, where the king had his party and Vashti had her party. We had two feasts at the beginning. We're going to end the whole Megillah with feasts, where Klal Yisrael is going to be Tzohalo V'Sameicha, and we're going to be feasting all over the place after everything comes to pass in a positive way for the Jewish people. And here in the center of the Megillah are the feasts with Haman, which are what set everything in motion. And Haman comes out by Yetzei Haman, by Yomahu, on that day that he saw as the top of his political career, not knowing that if you climb up to great heights, the only way to go is down. He was Sameach V'Tov Lev. He was happy. He was thrilled. He was lighthearted. Tov Lev. Ibn Ezra says that comes from all the drinking. A smart man in a political situation does not impair his senses and sharpness by drinking or by doing anything that would deaden his reactions. It's hard to be smart when you're drunk. The Gemara is full of discussions about the foolishness that people commit when they're drunk. But he says, the king promoted me, and his wife is honoring me. There's nobody greater than me in the whole kingdom. Sameach v'tov lev. But the egomaniac that is Sameach v'tov lev can't let something slide. V'chiros Haman es Mordechai b'sha'ar ha-melech. And when Haman saw Mordechai out in the gate of the palace, in the king's gate, and there's Mordechai, velo kam, and he wouldn't get up and then bow down, because his religion prevents that, velo zamimenu, but he wouldn't even move, he wouldn't even stir, he wouldn't even twitch. That's not something that the religion would prohibit. At the very least, he should so show some respect, but he doesn't even move. So Haman is coming out drunk and buzzed, and Mordechai is full of his dignity that is customary around him. And Haman, who is at his heart dreadfully insecure, desperate for adulation of people around him, completely self-centered in every way. Vayimole Haman al Mordechai chema. And so Haman, because of Mordechai, against Mordechai, was filled with rage. He was infuriated with Mordechai. Now, Vayivez Be'enov, We said earlier in the Megillah that it was beneath his dignity to just punish Mordechai. But now he wants to get Mordechai too. I want to kill him even before, says the Alshich and the Malbim, before the decree comes to pass. I don't want to wait. Here's Esther on the one hand waiting, waiting patiently and growing. Haman is incapable of growth. That's Amalek. Amalek attacks us through impulse, incapable of seeing the bigger picture, and certainly incapable of respecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is what Haman is all about. And he's filled with drunken rage, which is even hotter and more fiery than regular anger. Vayisapek Haman, so Pasuk Yud says, and this is where everybody's banging away the Hamans, this is where the word Haman comes up almost every other word. Perek Hey, Perek Vav, there's a lot of Hamans, as I could tell you after Kenai Nahara, 41 years of laning Megillah. A lot of Hamans. So Vayisapek Haman. So Haman restrained himself, however. So interesting, despite Vayisapak Haman. So Haman restrains himself despite the fact that what he wants to do is lash out and just beat Mordechai with a cane right there on the street. Vayavo El Beso, and he came to his house. No doubt he's praising himself for his restraint. The rest of us see his restraint as him being on a hair trigger and barely able to contain himself. Vayishlach, but he can't do this without an audience because he plays to the gallery. So he sent Vayaveas Ohavav, and he brought all of his friends. Well, it doesn't say his friends. It's not his Re'im. It's his, friends is usually how they translate it. But his courtiers, the ones who loved him. So you could see that Ohavav as not being a sincere love, as being a bootlicking kind of love. That's Zeresh Ishto. I always try to lane Zeresh with a special long Zion. She's pretty wicked too. She's a pretty awful and terrible person. And so Zeresh and his friends or his toadies are brought to the house to hear him rage and to say yes to everything he has to say. And maybe give him good advice on what to do. Now, would he have called them anyway to crow about his party? Very possibly, because we'll see in Yud Aleph that that's how he's going to start the conversation.